Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Good evening, guys. How's everyone doing? Good to see you all here. Welcome, welcome. Those of you who are tuning in online, welcome to you also. Just a reminder that tonight is our sharing night, so we'll just be opening the mic after worship for anyone who wants to share what the Lord has done in your life during the study of Proverbs over the last couple of months. Let's open up in some prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence tonight, Lord, and we come to you, Lord, knowing that you hear these prayers, Father God, and as these men have brought these requests up to be shared, Father, I just pray that you'd hear these prayers and just direct us and just remind us to lift up these prayers during the week, Father. And our brother Daniel like us to pray for the unborn, as he usually reminds us. And we just do pray, Father God, that our hearts would be changed and we would come to value human life the way you created it. And so we just pray, Father, that we would vote accordingly and stand up for these rights in any way that you enable us to, Father. And we know that there's many people think that it's a waste of time standing up for the rights of the unborn, and they're a nuisance to society and a drain financially. But you created us especially, Father, uniquely in your image, Father God. And none of those babies are a waste of anyone's time or finances. Also, I'd like to pray for Daniel's wife, Joni. She's got some vertigo. And we just pray that you would just heal her, Lord. We just pray, bless Joni right now, Father, and even now she'd feel your presence, Lord, and that you just touch her body and her mind, Father, and give her the rest and peace of mind, Father, and just calm her spirit, Lord, and just heal her, Father God. For our sister Hannah, we just want to pray for health and wisdom from God. And she's anticipating your return. And Father, we ask a reminder for all of us, Lord, that we would live in anticipation, Father. Our hope is not in vain. Your word says you're coming, and we do anticipate that return, Father God. And as we see the signs, we wonder just how long. In the meantime, Lord, just keep us patient, Father. Keep us prayerful, Father. Keep us in your word and doing your work, being your hands and feet on this earth, Father, until you're ready to take us home. For our brother Rich, he wants to lift up his brother-in-law, Chewy. Whatever's going on in Chewy's life, Father God, we just pray, Lord, that you would touch him, Father, that he'd know that the healing was from you. Whatever the need is, Father, we just pray that Chewy would know that you're involved in his life and that you care about whatever he's dealing with at the moment, Lord. And I just pray for Brother Rich, Lord, as he witnesses to his brother-in-law, Father. So I just pray for Chewy that he feel your presence, Lord, and know that you're in his life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. All right. So tonight we set aside for sharing on what the Lord has done in your life through the book of Proverbs. So any of you guys who'd like to share something, based on the topics that we've studied over the last 14 weeks, this is an opportunity, 2 or 3 minutes. See, Brother Daniel, it looked like the first one. Why don't you come up?
Hello. Now, okay, we want to stay in Proverbs, right? And the Lord is always good. He provides the means of understanding in the simple things in life that we go through. I remember the wave when I was a kid, walking on the sand. I remember the color of the water was transparent. The water was revealing to me different shells, the crabs, this and that. I was walking, and the wave coming in. The wave coming in. They will obliterate that, and coming out, they were showing me different things. So is the word of God in our life. In Proverbs, keep in mind the wave, as a reference point, in Proverbs, chapter 1 through 7, is to know wisdom and instruction, the first way, to perceive words of understanding. So now we thought about what we saw, we perceived the word of understanding, and to receive instruction of wisdom. Wisdom and instruction in the beginning, and at the end is instruction and wisdom. So we understand instruction of God and His wisdom, because we perceive the word of understanding through the motion of this life that He gave us. And through instruction of wisdom, we have justice, judgment, and equity. Those will be the guideline, the moral code of etiquette we carry inside when we deal with people, with ourselves, with life in general. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, which is an enigma, is a parable. The word of the wise and their riddles. The riddle is more like a game, like puzzling game for to test personal ability of thinking. Is a riddle, totally different things. On Matthew 13:35, Jesus say, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So an enigma is difficult to understand, and a riddle a game to test intellectual ability. An enigma, being a parable, I have a parable of the two sons of Matthew 21, 28 to 32. So Jesus looked at the Pharisee and the scribe. He looked at them and said, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, said the son. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go, talking to the Pharisee. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they said, the answer, right? The first, sure. Jesus said to them, I tell you that the truth, the tax collector and the prostitute are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collector and the prostitute did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him, John the Baptist. Right? So Jesus forced them to testify against themselves. The point of the parable was that doing it is more important than saying. They had to acknowledge this, yet in doing so, they condemned themselves. The idea that repenting tax collector and harlot would enter the kingdom before outwardly religious hypocrite was a recurring theme in Jesus' ministry. It didn't infuriate the Jewish leader. So going back to the wave, if you read Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes 1 through 9, yeah, it says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher with Solomon, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and ascends to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. to the place from which the river come, and they return again. So anyway, it's a cyclical thing. So is the Word of God in our life. We have to pay attention to what we are going through and what we are living. We are in the middle of God forming us in the way He wants us to be. I'm not preaching nothing, okay? But I have to do that in my own life to just let go of who I am, embracing what God wants me to be. So the transitional point is that I have to pay attention to where I'm at, where I put my feet on it. How do I walk in the sand? How do I see the wave coming in and out? I have to pay attention. And that's why I give it to you, because I know you guys pay attention, but I like to look big, you know. But pay attention, guys. God bless you, and thank you.
Hey, brothers. The two sections that stood out to me were seeking counsel, Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And then 20:18, plans are established by seeking advice, so if you wage war, obtain guidance. So I know as guys, right, a lot of us like to do things on our own. We don't like to ask for help. We don't like to ask for guidance. I'm, you know, one of those. But we find so often that we really need that kind of help. You know, if you need financial help, go to a financial advisor, find someone that's competent, that you trust, that's a brother, right? If you need spiritual help, find godly brothers, go to a pastor, all those type of things, right? And so just that's one area that stands out to me. I think a lot of us guys, you know, want to do things on our own. We have that kind of pride, but there's times where you just need good counsel, and find that good counsel. It'll help you make much better decisions. And that leads me to the next one, which was friendship, right? Because I get a lot of my counsel from my good brothers, and a lot of them are actually here tonight, right? People that I, you know, really trust and have faith in, and it's a great thing. So friendship, 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Biggest thing you guys can do, surround yourself with good, godly men that believe what you believe, right? Believe in Christ, believe in the gospel, people that you can go to when you need a helping hand, when you need advice, when you need just someone to come alongside of you, because we all go through those times of, you know, hardship or sickness or whatever. And then very important is to be that for them. Be there for them when they need a helping hand, when they need love, when they need guidance, when they need, you know, maybe a little bit of tough love, right? Sometimes we need that as brothers. So anyway, that's my thought for tonight.
It's been a long time since I've been at this mic. Marty was, he told me about 2 or 3 weeks back about the richness that he was getting from Proverbs and what we were studying here on Thursday nights and such. And I was amazed, especially now as I was looking through the title of the different teachings, and these are all real good information that is in the Bible. But does anyone know where it first started out? Let me give you another one. And I was talking to Marty about that as well. I've been doing a study. I belong to a motorcycle gang, the Christian Motorcycle Association. And every Thursday, and it's an open invitation, everybody has a motorcycle and you're retired, and you want to ride with us on Thursdays, we ride and we go to a particular spot, have a Bible study, and then from there off to lunch and then our respective ways. all that to be said is that we have been having a Bible study, and we started out in Genesis, the very beginning. And the reason I picked that out was because that's like, you know, you go to a store, you know, you got a computer, and, you know, it's ready to have all the input that you want it to have stored on its memory banks and such. And so it's up to you to put that information in. And when you put that information in, it gives you, you know, whatever you're working on, it helps you to zero in with that information you have. It helps you to come up with the answers that you're looking for on a regular basis. Well, it's the same thing with the Bible. And again, starting out in Genesis, the beginning, I used to work for a company that put asphalt on the ground. I was one of the truck drivers that you probably yelled at for throwing rocks into your windshield. But the thing is, the rocks that they put down the fine grain, and then they put down a rougher grain, and then they put down the asphalt. That being said, or vice versa, the fine grain or the big grain first. That's the way it is in the Bible, and it's starting out with Genesis 1, where, you know, the Adam and Eve, what they do to get thrown out of the Garden of Eden, and the things that went on there, the story behind that, and the reason that God did what he did. Okay, we are supposed to have a relationship with God. Jesus Christ provided us to have that relationship by dying on the cross, taking away our sins, so we have that relationship. But it's like, who is it, Charlie was saying, if you're both not speaking the right language, if you don't have the knowledge and the wherewithal of what he's thinking, because you haven't started at the beginning of a book that he's given us to learn the Word of God, then it makes it harder to understand where he's coming from. You know, there's parables in the book that talk about, one, for instance, is the owner of the land, and that was a story that used to get me, how he got people that worked the land from the very beginning of the day, and then he got people that started at 2 hours to go, and they all got the same pay. If you don't have the knowledge of understanding, you might just say, well, hey, these guys got ripped. You know, that's what I said for a lot of years. But again, it all goes to starting out at the very beginning. Now, Proverbs talks about the practical things that you do with the knowledge that you've learned from the beginning. And Paul, John, Peter, they're all talking about how to apply things. You know, if you're learning karate, you want to learn all the moves. Well, in order to have all the moves and to have that be something natural, to have all the information stored up to where now you can apply it and use it to go that extra distance when we are still human beings and we are still capable of doing, you know, stupid and mean things on a regular basis. Proverbs and some of the other ones help you to know that, you know, 2,000 years ago, these guys were doing these things, and if it worked for them, it's going to work for us today. If you want to know why, I'd suggest you going back to the very beginning and reading chapter and chapter, say all the way up to, you know, chapter 25, because after that, there's things that you learn on how to apply the things that you've learned. So foundation, 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 and then it works up to where we start getting into Proverbs and such. And so, yes, do not. This is all valuable information, and this is something that you would utilize, but you'd have a better understanding if you start at the beginning. Food for thought.
Hey, guys. As Mike Rogers said, before you play, pray. Before I speak, I'm going to pray, Father, and say the thing you want me to speak and say tonight. That bless my brothers. Use my vocal cords. Put the words in my mouth. But nevertheless, Father, we want to just give you honor and praise and thank you for the brothers here. And we love you, and because of your love that we're here, amen. Proverbs 13, wisdom brings happiness. Most of us want to be happy, right? Happy is the man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left is richest in honor. Her ways are pleasant, and her paths are peaceful. She's a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold her are happy. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom and established the heavens by our understanding. Boy, that's a lot. God used wisdom to establish this earth. Maybe we should try to get wisdom to learn how to live this life that he wants us to live. Because this life being a Christian is not easy. You go to bed, you wake up, you're still a Christian. And we still got to live in this broken, fallen world with these broken bodies and this mind of ours that's deprived. We had those foolish thoughts, worldly thoughts. We have to remember what the Word of God says and bring our thoughts in a subjection of Christ. You know, that does not align with the Word of God. This is not what Christ was having. We need to have the mind of Christ. And that takes practice. It doesn't happen automatically. You know, before my free history, before I probably got a bad thought in my mind, you know. I used to be a very vengeful man, but I'm not like that now. It says in somewhere in Proverbs, it's to your glory to overlook an offense. And I look at that, it's to my glory if I overlook an offense when caused me. It's to seek revenge. I seek to give God glory and thank him for giving the peace that he's given me. I thank him for the grace and mercy he's shown me. And because he showed me grace and mercy, then I owe it to my brothers and sisters to show them grace and mercy. Because that's what the Lord has done for me. Nothing I care about. It's nothing I haven't received. If you receive, then freely give. I freely receive wisdom. I freely receive grace. I try to share that grace and pass on others because God knows we all need it. We're all going to stumble and fall. And you can't look down on someone unless you're up above them. So we're on the same level. We can see eye to eye. Because all need a helping hand from time to time. No one of us is perfect. There's one man that's perfect. He's sitting right here in the Father right now, looking down on us, praying for us, interceding for us. And the only hope I have in this world to live a life of peace, having the kind of contentment, having in my life, looking to him, my Lord, my Savior, the one who died in my place. And thank God for the sacrifice of his Son. Now he looks at me as though I live the life of Christ. Now, I know I don't, but every day I try to practice something to make me be more acceptable than maybe people would see Jesus and not see me. Because in me, it's a whole mess. Any good in me, it's because of Christ. Because I'm a broken vessel, and I'm in a broken world. And I need all the help and grace I can get from my Lord. In the life I live, I want to be pleased to him. Because it's what he's done. No one else is going to do for me. No one's going to die for me. Somewhere in Scripture says, a man might die for a righteous man. He died for me when I was a sinner. Turn my back on him. I remember my brother died of cancer at 18. I was 20 years old. I poured my finger and I said, I don't want anything to do with a God like that. But man, your life teaches me a lesson. how much I really need him. And he had to blame for the sickness in this world, and sin that came in the world because of man's disobedience. And we want to live a life, we got to live a life of obedience. Because disobedience is going to bring destruction in our lives. Everything you think you hold dear, if you don't obey the Lord, you're going to lose it all. And I know for me, I was on my deathbed with COVID hit me pretty hard. Didn't think I was going to make it out of there. And I was like, I said, I called my Lord, you know, I'm not ready for you. Go back. I got something else for you to do. And I don't know what that is, but I said, Lord, whatever it is, I want to do it. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm here for you, Lord. And I don't know. For me to live as Christ and die as gain, if I died, I'd been okay. But he chose to lead me here for a reason. What that reason is, I have no idea. But he knows that I trust him to do what he wants to do in me and through me. So thank you guys, and keep coming back to this fellowship on Friday, on Thursday night, because we need each other as men. If you got a problem, talk to each other, man. Grab somebody. We need someone to help us walk this life, man. Christian life wasn't built for us to do alone. You know, we can't do life alone. We're not long rangers here. Thank God for this program. And that's 12, not 12, but this one-step program. Jesus, thank you.
I want to say thanks to Marty. He's shed a lot of light on things for me. So wherever he's at, thanks. Oh, there you are. Thank you. The Proverb 1-7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fool's discipline and wisdom, but the fools despise wisdom and discipline." So then I remember in one of the footnotes that Marty shared with us, he talked about wisdom gives you a long life and less headache, basically. And so I think of Billy Graham when I think of a person with a lot of wisdom. And I looked him up on Google the other day, and he lived to be 99 years old before he passed. That's a long life. And his net worth was over $25 million. So he did a lot of things right. I know that he shed light with different presidents of the United States, and I think we're all blessed because of him. So he's a man of wisdom. Flip side, my own blood, my brother lived a life of folly. He didn't live a long life, and he had nothing but heartache all his life. He passed away over 12 years ago. Folly will give you just what Marty shared with us, a short life and a lot of headache. And again, Billy Graham's a good example, so I'm far from him, but I want to say we're all blessed to have Billy Graham in our lives, so that's all I got.
I was praying just now and asking the Lord for a word. And of course, Proverbs speaks of wisdom as that main word, but more specifically, wisdom in the sense of, as Daniel mentioned, wisdom in our walk, wisdom in the way that we conduct ourselves specifically in a ministry setting and also in our families and in our lives in general, how we interact with people. I think often we're confused on how to do that, to, you know, especially we become born again. We're all super spiritual now and, you know, like, oh, I got to share the gospel with everything that moves. And, you know, like, how do I talk to people about Jesus? And all those things are great. But it was reminding me of this scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. No, excuse me. I think that's right. Yeah, he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The idea there is circumspectly is to array your surroundings in front of you, to walk wisely. You know, if you cross a street, you don't just up and cross the street. You look both ways before you go. And I was just kind of meditating on some Proverbs verses here. Specifically in chapter 7, my wife and I were doing a devotion this morning, and I noticed a few things that kind of spoke to us. And it says in chapter 27, verse 14, it says, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it'll be counted a curse to him." And imagine that. He's getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning at the crack of dawn, and he's yelling at his neighbor, "Bless you, my friend." And then the guy's like, "Come on, dude. It's not even light out. What are you doing? You're annoying me to death. Go back to bed. You know, go somewhere else." And I think often we can be super spiritual to a sense where it actually turns people off. And to where we're coming to him from this standpoint of this spiritual high, and it actually makes people feel condemned in a way, to where we're actually an annoyance in their ears. And we look at Jesus and the way that he conducted himself around people, and he was very gentle and kind and loving. And it was like, I keep meditating on this, something happened. You know, I used to go out preaching every single week and preach at malls and whatever. I'd talk to anything and everybody, you know, it didn't matter who you were. And I just come right off the bat with the gospel. Boom. Do you know where you're going when you die? You know? But I remember that God's deeply humbled me, you know. And I remember waking up at like midnight or something like that. I went to a CVS. I forgot what I got there. But there's this homeless. I parked and there's this homeless guy outside. And I didn't know him from Adam. And usually my routine is I'd say, "Hey, do you know where you're going when you die?" This, that, and the other. And then the Lord said, so I'm talking to the Lord. I'm like, "Lord, what do I say? What do I do?" And he's like, "Just say hi." I'm like, "Huh? What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, just say hi." So I did. I went up to the guy, and I said, "Hi," and I smiled. And he looked at me. He's like, "Whoa." It was like, that was the one thing that he needed, was for somebody to literally just say hi, you know? And I think often we need to rethink about the way that we approach people, and we ask God what he wants to do us to do in that situation, and say, "Lord, give me wisdom. How do you want me to talk to these people? What do they need? How do they need to feel loved? You know, how do they need to feel accepted, to feel welcomed, in order that they would be received by you into the kingdom of God?" You know, needs to become less about us and more about God and more about other people. And by no means, and I'm saying, by no means am I saying, do we compromise the gospel? No, of course not. But in the same sense, you know, Paul said, "I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Paul became a Jew to those that were Jews, so he would save the Jews. He became like the Gentiles. He'd save the Gentiles. He didn't compromise at all. And yet he lowered and humbled himself down to the people that are around him in truth and love in order that they would be saved. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Just use wisdom, pray, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Thanks, guys.
Before I had this sling on, I was taking lots of notes during Proverbs. I've been really enjoying the sessions. And the last couple weeks, I've been kind of at a loss because there's been a lot of good stuff that you guys have been sharing. One of the sections that Marty taught on had to do with the money. Show me the money, he called it. And the first section was on the purpose of money. And the first scripture that he shared was Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And then Marty shared about four or five other verses that really weren't talking about godliness or spirituality or anything, just money. And the scriptures all had to do with the advantages of having money. And what a bummer it is to not have money. You know, it's just very simple, you know, Proverbs 10:15, 13:8, 14:20, just all the advantages of being rich. And something Marty shared is that, you know, a wise man could be rich or poor. Godly man could be rich or poor. A fool could be rich or poor. There's no correlation between riches and godliness or riches and wisdom. And there's a lot of very wise, godly men to have great wealth, and there's a lot of wise, godly men who have lived in poverty, and a lot of very poor people really love the Lord and make wise decisions, maybe not all financially, but as far as in living their life. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting that, you know, that there were several scriptures that really just matter of fact, and basically Solomon is just stating the way things are. And we see that around us. There are advantages to being rich, and being poor is not fun by any means. But God has, you know, has a way of using us in these areas. And the rich man has additional problems, right? We deal with our wealth. We have to maintain our wealth, keep it. People are always protecting their wealth, right? The poor man doesn't worry about that. No one's trying to steal from a poor man. But many people try to steal from those with wealth. And they're just managing the money. They're afraid of losing it. And one of the negatives that just kind of, we end up depending on it. And we get lax in our depending on the Lord, where the poor person doesn't have that luxury of just buying their way out of all their problems, and they trust in the Lord. So there are a lot of practical reasons that money either, you know, helps that relationship with the Lord, or it maybe hinders it. But what some of the key takeaways were that, okay, so we have a lot of people in need and a lot of people with wealth. Now, Brandon gave a good example of just reaching out to this homeless person. And that's really the point of it is, one of the things that Marty said was, don't miss out on using the resources God gives us to bless others. Money and possessions can be a great bridge when you're willing to let go of it, okay? To have what you call enough. It doesn't matter, you know, that number is different for every one of us. Whether $100, $1,000, or $1 million, when you say you have enough and you're willing to just share, or even out of your want, giving up out of your need and giving to others. So just don't miss out on that blessing. And it's really up to us to befriend the poor. God has given us an opportunity to serve and to bless and to take care of those who are without. So there's a lot of great opportunity and being used of God in the resources that He's given us. And then one of the other notes I mentioned here was that, you know, one of the negatives of being rich is that you don't really know who your true friends are. You never really know. And a poor person never has that concern, do they? When someone reaches out and blesses them and befriends them and says something kind, as Brandon talked about, that person didn't think, what does he want from me? Right? That was the last thing on his mind. He was probably just thinking, wow, this guy's just reaching out. So anyway, so just those few things about money and possessions. It's all what God has us do with it. It's nothing to do with whether we have it or not. That's not going to, you know, affect our relationship with God except how we use it, not whether we have it or not. And anyway, so good stuff. And there was a lot of other scriptures on money and finance and possessions too, but that's what the Lord wanted me to share. So unless there's anyone else that truly wants to share something from Proverbs, so we'll just call it a night. Thank you guys for coming. God bless. Thank you, guys.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.